Remarks of the President, Bridgeport, Connecticut, 18 October 1952.
Thank you. Take a picture of that. Take a picture of that. I won't let you have any unless you take that picture. Take that picture down there. I'm in control. Thank you very much for this wonderful reception. I am happy to be able to visit you again. This time, I am campaigning for somebody else and not for myself. I've been highly pleased at the reception I've had in the great state of Connecticut. I will have been across it both ways, north and south and east and west, in the last two or three days. And I've been cordially received, and I appreciate it. I've become acquainted with your Democratic candidates here in this state, too. And I'm sure they'll give you the proper representation in Washington. Bill Bennin has been your senator, or will be, January the 3rd, 6 years, and he's done a wonderful job in the Senate. I want you to send him back. Abe Rivercoff is running for the short term of 4 years. He's been a wonderful servant of yours in the House of Representatives, and he'll make you a good senator. You ought to send Joe Lyford to Congress. And you ought to elect Stanley Priveson as your congressman at large. They'll both do you a good job. Now, the Democratic Party has two of the finest men of this generation at the head of its ticket, Adlai Stevenson and John Sparkman. They are men who can stand on their records of achievement in the affairs of civil government. They are men of honor and integrity, and they have shown that they understand the basic principles that make our country the greatest republic in all history. You know, every election year, the Democrats have a special problem on our hands. Besides putting our own record and program before the people, we have to make sure that they understand the real record of the Republicans in Congress. We have to do this because over the years, the Republicans have developed an amazing talent for remaking history. That's another way for saying that they don't tell the truth. Between elections, the Republicans in Congress spend their time building up a record of opposition and obstruction to the forward-looking programs of the New Deal and the Fair Deal. But a few weeks before the election rolls around, the Republicans' leaders and the one-party press start to tell the people over and over again that the Republicans were not really opposed to these programs. They finally get to the point of claiming that the Republicans have been in favor of these programs all the time. They're only in favor of them just a short time before the election. This is the Me Too approach, and the Republicans are trying it this election year as usual. A good example is the situation with regard to our basic immigration policy. Our present immigration laws are based upon an un-American theory of racial superiority. They say, in effect, that the so-called Nordics from England and Northern Europe are superior to the persons born in countries like Portugal, Italy, Greece, Hungary, and Poland. So each year, our doors are closed to all but a very few people from Southern and Eastern Europe. The Democratic Party has long been working to correct this disgraceful situation. But the Republican candidate for president has just winged up to the fact, to the shocking injustice of these restrictions. Last night, at Newark, New Jersey, the Republican candidate finally said Me Too about the discriminatory features of our immigration laws. My friends, it was a good statement. In fact, it was taken partly from my veto message. But why did the general, why did it take the general so long to learn about this serious problem and to come around to the position of the Democratic Party? I'll tell you why. The Republican record on this subject is bad, and the general wanted to keep quiet about it if he could. First of all, the present discriminatory provisions of our immigration laws were adopted in 1920s by a Republican administration. The Republicans invented this unfair system, and apparently most of them are still proud of it. This year, the Congress had a chance, once and for all, to get rid of the discriminatory provisions of our immigration law. And what happened? 80% of the Republicans in the House and 88% of the Republicans in the House and 80% of the Republicans in the Senate voted to pass that horrible McCarran Act over my veto. That act is just as biased against immigrants from countries of Southern and Eastern Europe, and it gives a second-class status to naturalized citizens in this country. Now, it's true that the new law bears the name of a Democrat, but my friends, he's not my kind of a Democrat. He doesn't speak for the Democratic Party either. Men like your own Bill Benton fought hard in the Senate against this bill. Our vice presidential candidate, John Sparkman, voted against it. The Democratic platform pledges a fight to rid our laws of these shameful restrictions. I've already appointed a special commission to get all the facts, and they've been holding public hearings throughout the country. Now, what have the Republicans done about it? They've made one of the senators who voted to override my veto the Republican candidate for vice president. The general has embraced on his great crusade such expert peddlers of bigotry as Jenner and McCarthy, who also voted to override that veto. I'm told that the Republicans of this state are to welcome Senator McCarthy for a second time in the campaign. The Republican leaders and the candidates for the Senate, to their shame, openly embraced him here in Bridgeport a couple of weeks ago. Even though they may welcome his fraudulent attacks on Senator Benton and on former Senator Brian McMahon, how can they reconcile their welcome of him with his fierce and savage attack on former Senator Raymond Baldwin, now Justice Baldwin of your Supreme Court? With utter disregard for Senator Baldwin's Republican record as your governor and senator, McCarthy assailed him viciously on the floor of the Senate. He called him criminally responsible in the Malmedy massacre case. It was Senator McMahon, a Democrat, who sprang to his feet to defend Senator Baldwin. For reasons of his own, McCarthy fought for the Nazis who, during the Battle of the Bulge, had perpetrated this infamous massacre of American soldiers. He attacked Senator Baldwin for defending our American soldiers who, after the war, sought to bring the Nazi murderers to justice. He treated Justice Baldwin with the same ruthless disregard of truth as he has shown throughout his career in the Senate. There are those in the Senate and many elsewhere who think that Senator Baldwin's resignation from the Senate was precipitated by McCarthy's vilification of him. This is the man, McCarthy, whom the Republicans of Connecticut are now willing to endorse without reservations, as their national committeeman put it, right here in Klein Memorial Hall. Now, I don't believe in that sort of business. There are plenty of people that I don't approve of, and I don't care what their politics are. If they're wrong, I'm against them. If they're right, I don't care what their politics are, I'm for them. And I've made that perfectly plain all over this United States. Now, I'm out here now trying to let the people of the country know the men and the party that they can trust to handle their immigration problems and all other important issues in accordance with the principles that have made us the greatest and most prosperous country in the history of the world. That's why on number the fourth, if you'll use a little judgment, if you'll use a little thought, if you'll understand the issues and look at them, the Republicans won't tell you what they are. They're trying to cover them up because they can't afford to have them be made public. If you'll inform yourselves and vote for the welfare of the free world, vote for the welfare of the greatest nation in the history of the world, and vote for your own interest. If you do that, we'll have Adlai Stevenson in the presidential office for the next 4 years, and the country will be saved.